Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we'll talk about the comparison of the US dollar with Bitcoin and how they're not that different. And we'll talk about the Japanese banking giant SBI entering the cryptocurrency market with its own exchange. But before we get started, I actually wanted to ask you ask you for a comment. I have prepared a quick analysis on 0x and cash with the Q, and I will release it in the Telegram group. So first of all, if you're not part of the Telegram group, make sure you join it. The link is in the video description or in the show notes if you're listening on the podcast. And once you've done that, please comment on the video to let me know which analysis you would like to see. You have a couple of hours and then I will actually release one or the other first. So now also let's jump into this first news story. And actually, guys, I have switched my browser to the Brave browser. So if you want to kind of use cryptocurrencies on a daily basis with the basic attention token, you can actually do this as well. So download the Brave browser to check it out. US Central Bank explains how Bitcoin is like regular currency. So there is a content strategist with the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. Her name is Christine Smith. And she's actually making a comparison between the US dollar and Bitcoin and saying it's not that different. So although everyone is talking about Bitcoin being anonymous and being like super private and only used for legal uses and all of these things, it actually makes the point that it's not really it's different. It actually first point is it's backed by nothing. And interestingly, the US dollar, and a lot of people always bring this first argument against Bitcoin being backed by nothing in compared to US dollar being backed by the government. Now the government has actually, especially the US government, has actually stopped with the gold standard, I think in the 1970s or something like this. And other countries also don't have backed by gold currencies anymore. So I think in Switzerland it's sub 10%, if not even less. And the only trust that you have that the US dollar or the Swiss franc or the German euro is something worth is because you trust the currency and you trust the government. Now, as soon as you start trusting Bitcoin because you believe that you can pay something with it, or you can pay your bills or your taxes or other products and services with that currency, it actually becomes a worthwhile currency for you. So this is a lot of people, especially new people in the cryptocurrency space, always bring this argument. So you can use the same exact argument that the US dollar is actually also not backed by anything. Now, then there is always this argument, yes, but the government guarantees you a certain value. Yes, they do, or at least they try to, but still, it doesn't have an equivalent. It's still printed money in that sense. Then the second point she brings is actually the finite supply. So as you know, Bitcoin is limited to 21 million units in total supply. And she's actually saying that, well, it's very similar with the Federal Reserve Bank, because they are saying as soon as we are seeing an inflation or deflation, that the Federal Reserve is actually printing or removing or actually increasing the amount of currency in the economy, or actually removing. She's also saying that it's actually not printed. Where does it say it? Here, Smith said that while it may be hard to believe, scarcity is at the core of the Fed strategy for stability in the monetary system. As to maintain its value, money must be in limited supply. The Fed doesn't print money, but instead increases or decreases the monetary base. Now, this is basic economics, of course, but a lot of people always say, well, if something happens, you can just print infinite supply of Ethereum or print an infinite supply of Bitcoin. But that's not actually not how it works. Bitcoin, by its technology, is limited to the 21 million. Other currencies such as Ethereum, Litecoin, etc. have or don't have a certain limitation. But this, again, is kind of built into the decentralized nature of the coin. So if a finite supply is needed, they can just build it and then release it via fork. Now, next up, we have the point of decentralization. It says that while the decentralized nature of Bitcoin is what differentiates it from fiat currencies, Smith observes a similarity in the way that cash is spent, requiring no intermediary to process a transaction. She concludes with the anonymity feature that is associated with cash. And here, to be honest, I don't really agree. First of all, the dollar and any kind of currency is very centralized. It's centralized by the national banks. That's the first part. The second part is that Bitcoin is not fully anonymous. We have done a video on this, so check the videos or the podcast about the privacy and anonymity features of the different coins. But Bitcoin can actually technically be traced back if you're not careful with that. And that's kind of an interesting comparison. I think it's fairly basic, but it's important that you kind of know the comparisons between the US dollar and the Bitcoin, especially if you're educating other people. Now, next up, we have the major news story, in my opinion. Japanese banking giant SBI plans to summer launch for crypto exchange. So the Japanese financial services giant SBI Group is reportedly planning a summer launch of SBI virtual currencies, its cryptocurrency exchange. Now SBI, the group, actually is a huge company. It's a financial organization, if you want, and they have kind of dabbled into cryptocurrency with their investment arm, so SBI Investment it's called. They have made investment into Omise Go. They have made partnerships with Ripple, and they have actually also made a partnership with Cash, or actually invested into Cash as a kind of a venture capital arm. But what is really interesting in this case is that SBI is, well, the environment of Japan in terms of cryptocurrencies is fairly regulated already, and Japan seems to be quite crypto friendly, and this of course is a huge thing for SBI if they will start kind of their own exchange. Now, what will make a lot of Ripple holders happy is that SBI Holdings has also co-launched SBI Ripple Asia with San Francisco-based Ripple to help develop and usher the adoption of blockchain cross-border payments amongst banks in the ASEAN nations and beyond. So they are kind of using Ripple as well in different payment and cross-border payment solutions. Now, as for their own exchange, it is not really clear what kind of technology they will use, whether they will use their own. It only says that the supported currencies are Bitcoin, Ripple, Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash, and other cryptocurrencies. Now, if you're an investor, what is really interesting with this story is that SBI has made certain investments into certain companies. Ripple is one of them. Cash is another of them. Omise Go is another of them. Now, if you are holding one of these three coins in your portfolio right now, this actually might be a good sign, because very likely one or all three of those cryptocurrencies or platforms will be used by SBI in order to launch their own exchange. Now, this is a theory. It's not obviously, this is not financial advice. I'm not saying you should buy or sell a coin based on that information, but it is basically meaning that, imagine a huge bank like, let's say, Deutsche Bank or Goldman Sachs. These are huge banks that don't really have the cryptocurrency experience and expertise in-house. So what they could do technically is just rely on the existing cryptocurrency technology, rely on those experts to really build on top of their technology. And this is exactly what could actually happen with this SBI launch towards the summer. Obviously, as soon as they will launch, we will let you guys know. But for now, this is the story. So Ripple, Omise Go, and Cash. And again, guys, don't forget to write a comment in the under this video to actually let me know whether you want to the Cash, when you want to read the Cash and quick analysis, or actually the 0x quick analysis. Now, we'll post it in the Telegram group, so make sure you're signed up for that as well. With that, guys, we're already at the end of today's episode. Make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast. I will see you. Oh, and also join the Telegram channel. I will see you tomorrow. Take care.